Warum nur an der Oberfläche kratzen? Bei einem Atemwegsinfekt ganz dünnes Eis.
Wenn Erkältungsviren auf die Bronchien schlagen, packt Umkaluabo den Infekt mit der Wurzel. Denn es lindert nicht nur die Symptome, sondern bekämpft auch die Erreger.
Umkaluabo.
Unaussprechlich, aber ausgesprochen gut.
Zu Risiken und Nebenwirkungen lesen Sie die Packungsbeilage und fragen Sie Ihre Ärztin, Ihren Arzt oder in Ihrer Apotheke.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
I volunteer in a crisis hotline once a week. Most of the time, people who call the line just need someone to hear them, someone to sit in the darkness with them, so they know that they aren't alone in their suffering. We get calls from all types of people. Distressed teens, drug addicts, people fighting with mental illnesses, elderly folks who have no one left to share their final days with. Third-party callers who know someone who is displaying suicidal behaviour. Many of these calls are silent, or the caller instantly hangs up. Most calls centre around loneliness. People going through hardship often feel like a burden when sharing their pain with friends and family. So, they keep it bottled up inside, where it festers and builds to a point where the pain is so overwhelming they would do anything to make it stop. Our job is to listen and help them find options. It's not something I normally speak about, but I had once been on the other side of the line here. After years of struggling with alcohol addiction and a series of very bad choices, I'd hit rock bottom. And this really had been my lifeline. Calling the hotline had been the first step on a long journey that I'm still far from finishing. But after years of therapy and abstinence later, I feel that if I can be that voice that pulls even one person out of that rut, all that might have been worth something. I remember the first time that caller unknown called me. Our caller ID usually shows the caller's number unless they intentionally block it. So, I thought it was probably a police department or some social service representative calling. I work the midnight to 4 a.m. shift. I am a pretty nocturnal guy to begin with, and that shift needed the most help, so I had no problem signing up for it. Call volume is a lot lower during these hours, so it's usually just me and a few other counsellors and one supervisor in the call centre during this time. Caller unknown first contacted me at 1:27 a.m. on February 17th. I answered with my standard, "Suicide Prevention Centre, you're speaking with..." "My name. Can I get your name?" There was no answer for a few seconds. This is pretty standard, especially with new callers who don't know what to say once they've opened that door. "I am here to listen when you're ready to talk," I told the silent line. "Take your time." I waited for a bit longer, then heard a loud digital static interfere with the line. The digital static stopped and returned to the regular phone static, then cut out, leaving the line completely silent. I checked the call application to see if the caller disconnected, but the time counter continued to tick. I checked my headset to see if I'd muted or messed it up somehow. The digital static returned, much louder this time. Then the call disconnected. I didn't think anything of it at the time, and went on with my shift as per usual. February 24th, at 1:27 a.m, caller unknown called back. It was the same as before. A long silence, then loud digital noise, then disconnection. I wouldn't have noticed it as unusual, if not for the digital noise. I checked my call log, and realised that it had come in the exact same time as last week. I figured it could be some sort of spam bot set with the call numbers and a schedule. I messaged my supervisor about it, and he sent me a GIF with Chandler Bing from Friends shrugging in an exaggerated manner. My thoughts exactly. 1 week later, on March 3rd, things got stranger. I accepted a call from a woman, Jane Doe, going through a divorce, who was suffering nightly from thoughts of suicide. a call came in around 1:19 a.m. and we'd just gotten through the basic risk assessment and the beginning of a story when a voice started cutting out. The digital static returned, this time even louder than before. I had to pull the headphones away from my ears. The clock read 1:27 a.m. The digital noise stopped and the line went dead, just like before. Then the normal phone static returned. "Are you still there, Jane?" I asked. "I think we got cut off there for a minute." There was no answer immediately. Then I heard a man's voice that sounded like he'd left the phone on the table and was speaking from many feet away.
"Please, help."
"Hello, can you hear me?" I asked. "You sound like you're far from the phone. Can you move any closer?" Again, barely audible, far from the receiver, I heard the words.
"Please, help."
"Are you in danger right now?" I asked. "If you're in need of immediate medical assistance, I need to know your location, or you need to call 911.
"Please."
Then the line popped, and Jane's voice came back. "Are you still there?" she asked.
"Yes, Jane."
"I'm sorry, I heard someone else's voice. Are you with someone right now?"
"No, I'm alone," she said.
Confused, I apologized for the technical difficulties and continued with the call. I pinged IT about the issue, and they said that they didn't notice any sort of interference on their end, but would keep an eye out for issues. The next week, caller unknown returned. I answered and didn't say anything this time. I waited through the introductory static, then heard the man's voice. He was closer to the phone this time. He sounded old, like his vocal cords were damaged. The words were strained and gravelly, as if pushed through broken reeds.
"Please, help."
"Sir, if you want me to help you, I need to know what's happening. Are you able to hear me?"
"Please, help."
"Sir, please call 911 if you need immediate medical assistance. I'm going to have to end the call if we can't communicate here." A long silence. Then, as if he had turned speakerphone on and placed the receiver to his lips.
"Please, help,"
blasted into my ears at full volume. I threw the headset off my ears and the call disconnected. Because there was no number listed, we couldn't place the caller on alert, but we noted it and I finished my shift. My supervisor said it was probably some sort of prank caller or someone with mental illness in an obsessive cycle. He didn't have any idea why the calls kept getting assigned to me. No one else had reported a call from caller unknown yet. On my drive home that night, the man's voice was stuck in my head, almost as if I could hear him in the distance. It didn't feel like a prank to me. There was so much pain in that voice, physical, psychological. The tone was pure suffering, a death rattle. I imagined a frail old man, crumpled on the floor of his cluttered apartment without the mental clarity to call 911. He called the one number that he had memorized. Perhaps he'd received help on the hotline before. I took some deep breaths and tried to ground myself. It isn't healthy to take the calls home with you. I did what I could to the best of my ability, and there was nothing else I could do for caller unknown. It did stick with me, though. The thought that disturbed me the most was how much I wanted a drink to drown out that damn voice. I came down with some sort of flu the next week. By Wednesday, my fever was down, but I still felt too exhausted to stay awake and supportive through the graveyard shift, so I called in for a substitution and took the night off. I passed out around 10 p.m. into a restless, fever sleep. I was awoken by the ringing of my phone at 1:28 a.m. I stumbled across my room to the dresser and grabbed the phone. It was set to do not disturb at night. The only way a call could come through is if the caller dialed it multiple times. Unknown caller. My thumb hovered over the accept button, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. After a minute, a voicemail appeared. I pressed play and held the phone to my ear. Static. Loud digital noise. Silence. Then, a low moan. It sounded like a feral cat at first, then wavered as he ran out of breath. He let out another loud moan through his broken vocal cords. It crescendoed into a scream of agony. I could hear an echo across his room.
"Please help, please help, please help,"
the line cut out. I know I should have kept the call for evidence or whatever, but it felt cursed. It felt like having that voice stored on my phone had tainted the device, and by holding it, I was cursed by extension. I deleted the voicemail and powered off my phone. I laid awake in bed, head spinning. The whole thing felt like a fever dream, and for a while, I convinced myself it was just that. I could live with a fever dream. It had been a while since I'd had a drink, but tonight, I felt like I'd earned one. Anything to get to sleep. I'd work tomorrow. I'd be useless, half sick, and sleep deprived. Besides, I'd worked hard for self-control these past years. I got out of bed and walked across the street to the 7-Eleven and grabbed a cheap bottle of Jim Beam. I took a few swigs on the way home, then took a couple of classes to put me to sleep. Apart from a hangover the next morning, things were fine, and I was able to move past it. A week later, however, all hopes of this being some sort of flu-induced nightmare faded. I returned to my shift at the call center. I only had one real call and two hang-ups by 1:15 a.m. I turned my status to not available in our call application and told my supervisor I was going to take a quick walk. I shut off my cell phone and left it at my desk and went outside. It was chilly that night, and I'd forgotten to bring a jacket. I walked along the side of the street for a while. I sat at a bus stop nearby and watched the empty night streets. A car drove by about every other minute. I always wondered where these people were driving this late on a weeknight. Maybe other graveyard shifts, coming home from a lover's apartment, or maybe they were wandering. I'd done my fair share of that. I glanced at my watch. 1:28 a.m. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath and felt the cool air fill my lungs. I'd heard a deep bass of music coming from a black SUV down the street. Then, my heart stopped. The SUV came to a stop at the light in front of me, and the deep bass of the music cut out, interfered by that familiar static. By the time the begging came out of the car speakers, I was sprinting back to the parking lot at the call center.
"Please, help,"
echoed behind me. I could hear the two guys arguing and trying to retune the radio to get their music back, but I didn't care to hear any more. I jumped into my car, forgetting about the shift altogether, and floored it away from the call center, leaving my phone and bag at my desk. I made sure the radio in my car was off. I didn't know where to go. I didn't want to go back to my apartment, because I feared I'd hear that cursed voice coming through any speaker I had laying around in the cluttered mess of gadgets I kept laying around. I drove as fast as I could to the outskirts of town, just past the state line, until the roads became more wooded and the lights of civilization faded behind the hills. I pulled over at a gas station off the interstate and filled up. Head still spinning, I grabbed another cheap bottle of whiskey to calm myself. This wasn't an issue of cheating on my sobriety. This was a medical use to maintain my damn sanity. I pulled over on a county road and dove into the bottle. I got out and stared at the stars until the whiskey made them spin and my nerves began to cool. It was impossible. All of it. I needed to talk with my therapist. We hadn't spoken in months. I hadn't felt the need for any more support lately. But maybe I did still need help. Maybe this was the first of many delusions, and some part of me always knew I would lose it someday. The familiar feeling of hopelessness began to creep back in, but I took another drink and cut it off. I wasn't that person anymore. I'd fought hard to climb out of that hole, and I had the tools to keep myself out now. What I needed now was to sleep, and then come up with a safety plan for myself. I got back into the car and turned around, heading back home. It was a dark county road, no one around for miles. I knew I'd be sober enough by the time I got back into areas where people would be driving. I was thinking about that when my head dipped down. Thinking about how easy it would be to slip off to sleep later and wake up with a new plan, a new direction. Then, I heard that sickening thump. It bounced me a few inches out of my seat, then again as it hit the rear wheel. I slammed on the brakes and came to a complete stop. The road behind me was illuminated red with my brake lights. At the edge of that hellish glow, a humanoid figure wriggled on the ground. I stared at my rearview mirror at the man I'd just run over. An elderly man wearing a blue baseball cap and an oversized jacket that was mostly torn from his broken body. His neck was twisted at an unnatural angle. The light from his shattered cell phone glinted in his pupils. Then came the moan. That soul-shattering cry of anguish.
"Please, help,"
he sputtered through his broken trachea. My mind went blank. The clock read 2:27 a.m. My foot lifted off the pedal and his body faded into the darkness, but those two glinting eyes remained in the rearview for what seemed like miles. I don't even remember getting into bed that night, but I woke up the next morning in my apartment. An officer appeared at my door, and I was certain that they knew what I had done. But it turned out to be a wellness check from the Suicide Prevention Center after I hadn't returned for my things. I told him I was okay, just dealing with a personal crisis. The officer didn't give me any grief and filled out a quick report. A news article came out later that day in the neighboring county that one of their older residents, known for taking nocturnal walks, had been killed in a hit-and-run accident. I realized that they were in different time zones, an hour behind us. I looked at the photograph of the man, alive and smiling, thought about his kids and grandkids, thought about how long he must have laid there on the road, gasping for air, begging for help. It's been a few weeks now, and it doesn't seem to matter where I am every Wednesday morning at 1:27 a.m. Somehow, his call for help will find me, and I know there's nothing I can do now. Maybe if I hadn't been drinking. Maybe if I hadn't been so damn scared of that voice. If my flight instinct hadn't kicked in, I wouldn't have just left him there. I wouldn't have ever received that call from unknown caller. If I hadn't been alive. I may never understand. But all I know now is that I can't take any more of these calls. These pleas for help. It's all I hear. And no amount of booze can drown it out. I don't think I can take it anymore.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.